Welcome to number 16 of the Choose This Day Bible Study series that's designed to bring understanding and decision. This one's on tithing and offering. So tithing is a doctrine of most denominations, but it's subject to personal variance and levels of obedience. Many Christians choose where and when and to whom to give, but God has instituted a tithing system. And so let's search the scriptures and understand a little bit of the reasoning and purposes. Now, you've been around for a while and you know that there's a link for the notes in the description below, so feel free to follow along. Our first scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Let the elders that rule, and that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So using some of the Old Testament scriptures and the concepts of working with farm animals, God has brought out some principles for tithing and supporting those that are working in the ministry. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Or I only, and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? In other words, can't we stop working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? In other words, who pays for his own war? Who pays for himself to be a soldier in the war? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? In other words, if you're going to reap something, you should sow. And that's the principle that's behind this idea of tithing and offering. Notice 2 Timothy 3, verses 4 through 5. Traitors, some are, heady and high-minded. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In other words, they'd rather spend money to go to Disneyland instead of spending money the way God has asked them to. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, the Bible says, turn away. So we are to treat people that are not willing to follow the scriptures, not with a nose up and a holier-than-thou attitude. But of course, we should not dwell with those people to absorb their influence and follow their practices. We should encourage them and direct them and be salt rather than be salted. Now, Matthew 23, verse 23 actually describes Christ when he was rebuking the Pharisees. He was rebuking them while they were being faithful. Notice what happens. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. So these are very small elements that they would grow as herbs. But you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. In other words, you've done away with that which is more important. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These, the tithing things, ye ought to have done, and not to leave the weightier matters undone. So Christ is rebuking the Pharisees for being faithful in the little things that were kind of the outward show of being faithful and being Christian or religious, but the inward heart was evil and wretched and wicked, miserable, poor, blind, and naked like the Laodiceans in the seventh church of Revelation chapter 3. So now 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 13 through 14 describes, Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things, they live of the things of the temple? And they which wait on the altar are partakers of the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained, so this is what the Lord has ordained, that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So it's very important to be able to help men that serve, to be able to afford time, to be able to study, pray, minister, visit, share, all the things that are described in the biblical ministry of a pastor or minister. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10, it describes, Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? His answer is, In tithes and offerings. So not just tithe, but there's also offerings. You are cursed with a curse, God says, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, or food, whereby people will be able to eat when they come to my house. And prove me now herewith. This idea of proving God is something that he doesn't do elsewhere. Prove me now in this thing, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, if you recall, when the windows of heaven were opened first in the Bible, it was in the book of Genesis, and there was a worldwide flood. So God is saying, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to even receive all of it. I think God is serious. Now, he's not only talking financial blessings that he will give you, but he will take care of you. He has said, he has promised, he has challenged. Prove me in this and test me. In other words, put me to the test and see if I won't bless you for what you give in response to my commands, which is, of course, God saying, return all the tithe and the offerings. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. In other words, if you put out one seed for a carrot, you might get one carrot. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So if you plant one little bit of seed, you might get one little bit of harvest. It reminds me of a time where my wife and I had not long been married. We were living in a parsonage over in Michigan, United States of America. And my wife wanted a garden, so I had set out a very nice area for her to be able to plant some vegetables and various things that we would be eating. And so she goes and gets some plants. And so she comes back and she says, look, sweetheart, there was buy one, get one flat free. So I got two flats of tomatoes for the price of one. I was like, right on, let me go plant them. So we planted 60 something plants of tomatoes. It was more than an abundant harvest. We got so many tomatoes. We were giving tomatoes. We were freezing tomatoes. We were blending tomatoes. We were letting tomatoes just rot and prepare the ground for next year. We had so much because we had sown so much. And I think that's what God is saying. If you sow and trust him, he will bless you and give you return. So the idea is God is not mocked. He will bless you if you sow. Hebrews 7 verses 1 through 2 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So the father of the faithful, he's the one that gave a tenth or a tithe of everything he had received. And so the principle is if you are given $10, then you give 10% of that $10 as tithe and then offerings as much as you would. And this is following God's principles. Now, if you buy something out of that $10 for $8 and then you sell it for $8, you're getting $8 back, but it's not an increase. So you don't pay tithe on that $8 that you got back. But if you buy something for $8 and sell it for $10, then you have $2 increase. You pay tithe on the $2. I hope that makes sense to you. Leviticus 27, verse 30. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So now God doesn't call very many things holy in the scripture, though there are plenty of things. There's the holy word. He is holy. There's the Sabbath day holy. The tithe is holy. God's people are called to be holy. And so when he calls something holy, there's a very small group of things that he refers to as such. And so we ought to take serious interest in those things, for God calls them holy. Now, our final scripture for today is Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ's, then You are Abraham's seed or child, and you are heirs according to the promise. And so when Abraham paid tithe, and the tithe is holy, if you are Abraham's seed or child, you should follow your father's example. More than that, you should follow God's words through his prophets. And so we know that God is faithful. He will bless us. And that's why I am thankful to be able to understand and implement into my life the 16th fundamental principle, which says that means for the support of the evangelistic work among men should be contributed from love to God and love of souls, not raised by church lotteries or occasions designed to contribute to the fun-loving, appetite-indulging propensities of the sinner, such as things from the 1889 year, remember these are older, but put them into your day, such as fairs, festivals, oyster suppers, tea, broom, donkey, and crazy socials, etc., which are a disgrace to the professed Church of Christ, that the proportion of one's income required in the former dispensation can be no less under the gospel, that it is the same as Abraham, whose children we are, if we are Christ's, Galatians 3:29. He paid to Melchizedek, a type of Christ, when he gave him a tenth of all, like it says in Hebrews 7. The tithe is the Lord's, Leviticus 27:30. And this tenth of one's income is also to be supplemented by offerings from those who are able for the support of the gospel and those who serve, as are found in the next scriptures. So I'm thankful that you've taken this time to study with me the concept of tithe and offering, and I pray that you will be a blessing to many people out there who are serving God and fulfilling His gospel commission to spread the good news to the entire world.